Welcome to this week's edition of the Wallingford and District Talking newspaper, bringing you news from the Wallingford Herald on the 26th of August 2026 and some items from the websites. The readers this week are Jane, another Jane, and Sue. I'm Keith, your producer, and the copier and distributor is Roger.
Hello, I'm Jane, and I'm reading the front page article, and that is Chaos as Waterworks Close Road Again. Six times in 2 years is horrendous, says Trader. The rest of this article will be read in a little while. Man in his 20s admits assaulting ex-partner. A man in his 20s is set to be sentenced after pleading guilty to assaulting an ex-partner. Joseph Jerome Kirby of Cooper's Peace Wallingford appeared at Oxford Crown Court on Monday. The 27-year-old had been due to stand trial. However, he pleaded guilty to one count of assault by beating, which was acceptable to the prosecution as an alternative to causing actual bodily harm. According to the court record, the offence took place in Wallingford on February the 25th last year. A pre-sentence report was ordered ahead of his sentencing on September the 23rd. The court heard that Jerome Kirby and the victim had been in a short relationship. The defendant was released on bail with the condition to not contact the victim. The judge, recorder Anne Mulligan, warned Jerome Kirby about the importance of attending his meeting with the probation service.
Hello, I'm the other Jane. High hopes in the south of the county after successes. Southern Oxfordshire pupils celebrated after landing a stellar haul of GCSE results. A total of 30.4% of pupils in the South Oxfordshire district achieved grade 7 or above in their exams, while 25.1% of Vale of the White Horse pupils passed above 7. At Wallingford School, head teacher John Marston said he's very proud of the pupils achieving their excellent results. He added, beneath the headlines, there are many individual stories of students who have excelled, be it with a string of top grades, or who have achieved or exceeded their targets, or overcome challenges or difficulties in their lives. We celebrate the achievements of each and every young person at Wallingford School as they look forward now to the next step in their lives. Allotments help a new community to take root. A retired couple has praised Wallingford Allotments for bringing people together. Nick and Sue Jones, who live at Barclays Highcroft development, were among the first to be given a plot at the site, which was delivered as part of the landscape-led scheme and later transferred to Wallingford Town Council. They said the allotments have created a really friendly community. People look out for one another and are always willing to share advice or lend a hand, whether that means discussing what to grow, identifying something found on a plot, or keeping somebody's crops watered whilst they're away. Some people have years of gardening experience and others are learning as they go, so there is always knowledge being passed around. We all tend our own plots, but nobody feels as though they're doing it alone. They now tend to two adjoining 50 square metre plots, just a 5-minute walk from their home. At the request of Wallingford Town Council, the couple set up a WhatsApp group to connect plot holders, which has since become a hub for advice, support and neighbourly help. The group shares tips on crops, pests and wildlife, but also offers practical support. Members water each other's plants during holidays and help identify plants or solve problems. That spirit recently extended to a family of partridges that made its home on one of the allotments, with members sharing updates as the eggs hatched and the 12 chicks eventually fledged. Nick and Sue Jones said the partridges captured everyone's attention. People kept an eye on them and shared updates with the group so that the whole community was able to follow their progress. There is always something happening at the allotments. We hear lots of different birdsong and get the most amazing deep pink and orange sunsets. But being able to share those experiences with other people is what makes it particularly special. Their granddaughter regularly helps on the plot, watering plants and tasting strawberries. The couple say the biggest benefit has been becoming part of the community, and there is an accompanying photograph of the couple on their allotment.
Hello, I'm Sue, and I'm reading the article that was headlined on the front page. Works shut road for sixth time in only 2 years. A road in Wallingford has been closed by Thames Water for the sixth time in the last 2 years for works described by one business owner as horrendous. The water company closed Hithercroft Road in Wallingford to all traffic on August the 14th to repair a damaged sewer. An estimated 28 tankers have been required on site to manually transport the sewage and wastewater while the pipe is isolated and repaired by engineers, and a huge operation set to continue until August the 28th. Business owner Pamela Barry, who runs the coffee stop kiosk at Hithercroft Road, said, "I can't believe it. It's the third year in a row they've closed that road and they just don't care. I spoke to one of the workers yesterday who said it was a complete mess. He said it's so disorganised, nobody knows what they're doing, and they all tell you different things. Last year was really, really difficult for me. I almost gave up. I thought it was just going to have to close. It was unbelievably stressful. I know the work needs to be done. Why wasn't it finished during one of the previous times? I counted it up. They were working on this road on and off across 9 months last year. It's just ridiculous." As an outdoor venue reliant on passing trade, Miss Barry's business has been suffering not only from the road closure, blocking the only route from town to the coffee shop without driving around the bypass, and the constant disruption from works. She added, "The tankers are running their engines constantly and it just adds to the stress, anxiety, the pollution, the environmental damage, the decibels of the noise, how it's affecting my business and my footfall. Even their customer service is shocking, and they, that's the workers, don't even buy coffee." Hithercroft and St John's Roads have faced repeated closure for works over the past few years, including in December 2024 when raw sewage leaked across the carriageway. It was closed indefinitely in January 2025 to fix the leak, and subsequent road closures at the same site followed in February 2025 for a burst water main in June to replace aged infrastructure, and in July to fix damage caused by a house builder earlier in the year. A spokesperson for Thames Water said, "Engineers are working in St John's Road, Wallingford, to repair part of the sewer, which, if left unrepaired, will increase the risk of pollution during the winter. Tankers are being used to safely remove and transport wastewater while engineers isolate and repair pipework. The work is scheduled to be completed by the 28th of August. We are sorry for the disruption these works may cause and would like to thank residents and business owners for their patience while we carry out this essential repair." And just in case none of you have seen the pictures of the tankers, there is a picture in the newspaper for you.
Public urged to book flu jabs before the winter. The NHS is urging the public to start booking flu vaccination appointments ahead of the winter season. In a bid to help ease pressure on the health system, the NHS has begun preparing for winter earlier than ever by opening its booking system. It means that eligible people, like children and pregnant women, will be able to get flu jabs from as early as September. Over the summer, the NHS treated a record number of patients following the 5 back-to-back heatwaves, and it is now urging the public to help ease the winter pressure and book flu jabs. So who will get a flu jab in September? In England, children and pregnant women can now book their flu jab via the online booking portal, while NHS Scotland and NHS Wales will be contacting those eligible for the flu vaccine from late August. People do need to wait for an invitation to book and can find appointments on the NHS website, NHS app, or by calling 119. Who should have the flu vaccine? The flu vaccine is offered to people who are at a higher risk of getting seriously ill from flu, according to the NHS. Although you can get the flu jab for free if you are eligible, if you are not, you can pay for a private appointment. Boots has already opened its booking system for flu appointments, which cost £21.95 and can be booked via its website.
A weekend of medieval mayhem in store. Knights will return to the arena next month as Stoner Park brings back its blockbuster jousting and falconry weekend. Taking place on September the 19th and 20th, the family event promises a packed programme of medieval-themed fun and interactive attractions. Visitors to the Henley-on-Thames attraction can look forward to dramatic jousting displays by the Knights of Royal England as armoured riders compete in a thrilling test of skill and bravery. Spectacular falconry displays will fill the skies throughout the day, with majestic birds swooping across the parkland as visitors learn about the ancient art of falconry. Hands-on activities will include archery and axe throwing. Admission includes entry to Stoner Park's adventure playground, Tumblestone Hollow, which features slides, tunnels, climbing walls and a zip wire. Visitors can also explore the historic gardens and Stoner House, which will be open to the public in the afternoons. A wide selection of street food will be available, including barbecue, pizza, burgers and gelato. Tickets can be booked at the Stoner website. And there is a photograph of a pair of mounted knights jousting.
Boris furious over possible release of Hero PC's killers. Boris Johnson has weighed in on the row about the early release of Police Constable Andrew Harper's killers. In his column for the Daily Mail, the former Prime Minister said he felt the rage of millions on the issue and that the new Prime Minister Andy Burnham is failing his first big test. PC Harper was killed in 2019 while responding to reports of the theft of a quad bike in Solhampstead, Berkshire. The 28-year-old who lived near Wallingford suffered catastrophic injuries after being dragged down a country lane behind a car containing three teenagers attempting to flee the scene. Henry Long, Jesse Cole and Albert Bowers were subsequently jailed for the manslaughter of the police officer, but widespread backlash has followed the government announcement that Cole and Bowers, serving 13-year sentences, could be released early. This follows a Sentencing Act 2026, which was introduced to tackle prison overcrowding. Thousands of people have shared messages of support and attended events opposing the decision, and more than 1 million people have signed a petition calling for the killers to serve out their full sentence. Now Mr. Johnson, who lives just outside of Wallingford with his family, met the widow of PC Harper in 2021 when he was Prime Minister. In his column, he detailed how they discussed Harper's Law, which introduced a mandatory life sentence for anyone convicted of manslaughter of an emergency worker acting in the line of duty. He said, "The widow of PC Andrew Harper was dignified, brave and determined. Even so, the law was not applied to the killers of PC Harper as it was introduced after the case, and now it appears that after the Sentencing Act, Cole and Bowers will be released early."
Hosepipe ban stays in place despite rain. Thames Water has said that the hosepipe ban will continue despite rain in Oxfordshire this week. The water company announced a temporary ban starting on July the 23rd, and this was due to an exceptionally dry spring, three official heat waves, record-breaking temperatures and prolonged high demand. Residents across Oxfordshire have been allowed to use their hosepipes or sprinklers, leaving some sorry. Residents across Oxfordshire have not been allowed to use their hosepipes or sprinklers, leaving some gardens looking worse for wear. Sir David Beckham's own garden at his Cotswold estate has been described as an arid dust bowl in a national report. Now, in a statement issued, Thames Water said it would continue to monitor levels before relaxing the ban. Showers have taken place this week, but not in the volume required to top up resources. A spokesperson for Thames Water said, "Rain this week will be very welcome, but there remains a lot of dry conditions forecast across the Thames Water region, and we have seen no significant rainfall for about 8 weeks now. We'll continue to monitor levels and conditions across the region and will lift the hosepipe ban as soon as conditions allow." In a previous statement earlier this month, the firm had said, "Thank you to everyone who has already reduced their water use. Your support is helping protect water supplies for communities and the environment. We continue to monitor water levels and conditions across the region. We'll lift the hosepipe ban as soon as the conditions allow."
King is proud as his nephew picks university. King Charles has said he couldn't be prouder after his nephew passed his A-levels in southern Oxfordshire and got into his first choice university. The 18-year-old Earl of Wessex, who studied at Radley College near Abingdon, will attend the Royal Agricultural University after achieving the grades needed for his chosen course, it is understood. James will study for a rural land and property management degree at the university in Cirencester after joining thousands of teenagers in England, Wales and Northern Ireland who received their A-level results. Reacting to the news, the King reportedly couldn't be prouder, according to an insider who spoke with The Sun in comments relayed by Tatler. The source said he might be the King's nephew, but he's more than happy to get his hands dirty and muck in. The King is known for his fondness of the countryside, and he couldn't be prouder knowing the younger royals share his love. James's grades and the subjects he studied at Radley have not been disclosed, and there is a photograph of James, Earl of Wessex, attending an Easter service at St George's Chapel at Windsor Castle.
Motorcyclists crash while fleeing police. Two motorcyclists were arrested after crashing while fleeing police after riding dangerously in pedestrian areas, including Didcot's Orchard Shopping Centre. When officers attempted to stop the pair, they refused to pull over and fled the scene. It was the latest incident this year involving youths causing trouble in and around the Orchard Centre. In April, Thames Valley Police issued banning letters to a number of young people involved in antisocial behaviour within stores, with the disruption to shoppers highlighted by Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Barber. And at the end of May, officers were once again forced to focus on trouble at the centre. Among the issues raised were reports of drugs and nuisance behaviour, with the police also looking into motorbike riders causing noise, disruption and safety risks to others. Regarding the latest motorbikes incident earlier this month, Thames Valley Police said, "The riders continued their dangerous antics around the town before officers coordinated resources from across the force. While another team member was dealing with a separate vehicle linked to suspected drug use, a police dog unit in the area spotted the motorcycles. The riders once again attempted to get away. Unfortunately for them, their escape plan had a major flaw. One rider lost control and collided with his friend, taking both bikes out in the process. One motorcyclist suffered a broken collarbone as a result of the collision, and both were arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving and failing to stop for police. The rider who collided with his companion was also arrested on suspicion of causing serious injury by dangerous driving. Also this month, the Didcot and Wallingford Neighbourhood Policing Team joined forces with the Roads Policing Tasking Team for a road safety operation at H Cafe. The operation focused on engaging with motorcyclists, promoting safe riding and addressing antisocial behaviour on the roads. Police said that while most motorbike riders were responsible, a few were found to be in serious violation of the law. Officers dealt with multiple riders for offences including dangerous driving, riding without insurance, and riding while disqualified. Thames Valley Police said one rider was found to have no valid licence due to being disqualified from driving, yet had decided to get back on a bike anyway. Roads policing regularly carry out these operations, but on this occasion, NHPT officers were able to support by providing local knowledge, helping identify individuals and areas of concern and assisting with enforcement activity. A great example of different policing teams working together to keep our roads safe. The force emphasised the importance of collaboration in tackling road safety issues and responding to community concerns.
Fridge, freezer, disposal issue. Residents face collection charges of up to £44 for the collection of old fridges and freezers as Oxfordshire councils grapple with a national recycling backlog. Temporary restrictions have been introduced at household waste recycling centres by Oxfordshire County Council following a nationwide shortage of specialist facilities. Bookings for these appliances at recycling centres are now capped, can only be made 1 week in advance, and are limited to one booking every 3 months, with a maximum of 2 units per visit. While some districts and county councils also restrict bulky waste collections for fridges and freezers, residents are being encouraged to explore alternative disposal options when buying a replacement appliance. The county council is urging people to use retailer take-back schemes where stores collect old appliances when delivering new ones. While retailers are required to offer a like-for-like take-back service, charges can vary significantly. The council is also encouraging residents to reuse working appliances where possible through websites such as Freegal, Freecycle, Facebook Marketplace and Nextdoor. And there's a small photograph of about half a dozen different fridge freezers looking very sorry for themselves.
Norwegian princess and shaman to visit festival. A royal guest and her shaman partner will appear at an alternative South Oxfordshire festival. Norwegian princess Märtha Louise and shaman Durek will appear at the Om and Bass Festival at Brasiers Park, Ipston, near Wallingford, from September the 4th to the 6th, leading a two-day workshop focused on intuition, resilience, courage, and authentic living. Their appearance supports the festival's mission to raise funds to end human trafficking and support related causes, including ending domestic violence, child marriage, and supporting child refugees. The couple said a civilization is not measured by its wealth or its power, but by the safety, dignity, and freedom of its women. When a woman can walk through the world without fear, generations are transformed. Love is not simply something we feel. Love is the courage to protect the sacredness and freedom of every human life. The Om and Bass Festival has promoted well-being through movement and music for more than 15 years. Known for its commitment to diversity, inclusion, accessibility, and sustainability, the festival offers more than 140 workshops alongside music, live artists and comedy. Shaman Durek, a sixth generation shaman, is the author of Spirit Hacking and an internationally recognised spiritual teacher. Princess Märtha Louise is an author, educator and public speaker and founder of Astarte Inspiration, teaching intuition, personal development, and spiritual awareness. On Saturday, September the 5th, the workshop titled Remembering the Voice Within will encourage participants to reconnect with their inner voice. Princess Märtha Louise will guide attendees toward their wild heart, the intuitive self that exists beneath fear and external expectations. Shaman Durek will help participants recognise the strength they have gained through their life experiences. On Sunday, September the 6th, the workshop will shift to the wild heart and the courage to become. Princess Märtha Louise will discuss trusting and acting on that inner voice, while Shaman Durek will lead practices for choosing courage in everyday life. The weekend concludes with a question and answer session, offering attendees the chance to engage directly with the couple.
This is in the Harking Back column by Emma Brennan, and it's recalling the golden age of the dance hall. Many readers shared my mum's sentiments about the dance halls of her youth. Jill Taylor recalls a tramps ball she attended in her younger days. She said, "As far as I can remember, I wore a big floppy white shirt with 'Kiss Me Quick' written on the back in lipstick. I met my husband to be at this dance." Malcolm Clark said, "I was neurotically shy as a youngster and avoided dances at all costs. However, when in later life I attempted it, I found I enjoyed dancing and found it can unify people and be therapeutic. It is funny to think of what life was like in the pre-internet and social media era, and I think we relied a lot more on the telephone, Royal Mail, and visiting each other's houses." Maureen Robinson attended a youth club in the 1950s. She said, "We played billiards, dance and other games, and we also had a record player so that we could have music and we could dance to it. When we got to 18 years old, my friend and I went to the ballroom there where there was a live band and a singer, plus no alcohol was sold, only soft drinks. I loved dancing and met my future husband there, who was a good dancer." And there's a picture of a band sent in by one of the readers. The band are called the Concords, and they're busy strumming away at the front of the dance hall. And that picture was sent in by Jim Blankhorn.
Curiosity Corner with antique expert Andrew Blackall. Box standard changes to collectible treasures. There is something most of us sit on every day that's known by more than 50 names. This week, I'm talking about the humble lavatory. I know some readers would like me to bog off, but believe it or not, there's a whole collection frenzy around the loo. Toilet roll holders, lavatory pans, lids, sinks, taps, even stand-up urinals. From Hitler's flash spüler, complete with its loo inspection shelf and salvage from his yacht, Aviso Greel, now displayed in New Jersey, to Queen Victoria's private lavatory at Windsor and her regal throne at Osborne House on the Isle of Wight, there's a public fascination and where famous people answered nature's calls. Whether it's the bogs of the Badders or the Queen's Kludgy, these places attract attention. Anyway, be seated. A Victorian lavatory bowl with floral pattern can fetch several hundred pounds. It changes the feel of a cottage loo instantly, and many enthusiasts claim they block less often than modern toilets. Avoid restored examples if you intend to plumb them in, as acrylic fillers can eventually fail. Or what about that Pampas green, that unmistakable 1970s and 1980s shade, can still be found in reclamation yards. It's strange, isn't it? So many of us turn lavatories into shrines to tasteless humour, vintage Parisienne Le Pissoir signs, random celebrity photographs, station signs, giant pot plant pots growing from Victorian chamber pots. For others, the loo is a bastion of literary excess, where shelves groan under reprinted classics. For my late grandfather, it was simply the place to tackle the Times crossword. If you're looking for somewhere elegant to hide loo rolls and cleaning products, a 19th century cylindrical pot cupboard fits the bill perfectly. For those recreating a mid-century look, gold fittings and marble effect seats are essential. Though perhaps go easy on the crochet dolls concealing spare toilet reels beneath their skirts. The humble bog has come a long way from a hole in the ground. At Scarra Brae in Orkney, our ingenious Neolithic ancestors built tidal toilets flushed by seawater 5,000 years ago, while most people were still disappearing behind the bushes. Best avoid the nettles.
The Curious Facts column, which this week is on the subject of ornate glass. King Solomon art glass emerged following the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. Its distinctive style draws on Art Nouveau's silversmithing, characterised by sweeping lines and organic botanical motifs, while also incorporating traditional Judaic iconography like pomegranates and olive branches. The production of Israeli King Solomon's silver overlay glassware combined traditional glass blowing techniques with electroplating chemistry, Every piece began with a thin, hand-blown glass vessel. To apply the ornate metal decoration without damaging the delicate glass, craftsmen used electroforming. First, the design was painted onto the shaped glass with a conductive paint or metal powder. The glass was then submerged into an electroplating basin containing silver. When passed through an electric current, the silver binds to the conductive painted lines, gradually building up the raised pattern. To finish the design, the artisan carved and polished the silver overlay. Finally, an oxidizing agent was added to enhance the relief. Shapes varied, though floral vases, perfume bottles, miniature vessels, and urns were popular. Rich hues such as cobalt blue and emerald green were paired with the satin, frosted, or iridescent surface of the glass. Today, the decorative King Solomon glassware is a quintessential example of the mid-century Israeli art movement.
Hello, this is some advice from the Wallingford Herald website, and it sounds rather extreme to me, but you listen and tell me what you think. 6 things you should and shouldn't do in a thunderstorm. Once the Met Office has told us that a thunderstorm is coming, there are some things we can do to help prepare. When the Weather Service issues a warning, whether it's yellow, amber or red, it tells Brits what kinds of conditions they can expect. For instance, the public can be told to prepare for some disruption, including difficult driving conditions, possibly flooded roads, as well as a slight chance of power cuts. The experts also share their advice by signposting and guidance on dealing with the severe weather, driving in these conditions, and how to tell how far away a storm is from you. Met Office issues tips on how to stay safe during a thunderstorm. One of the first things that the Met Office suggests you do in the event of a thunderstorm is to seek shelter, whether it's your home office or somewhere else. It has also outlined a number of things you can do before, during and after a thunderstorm to make sure you remain safe. Before, unplug any non-essential appliances, if not already using a surge protector. During the storm, avoid using the landline unless in an emergency. If outside, avoid water and find a low-lying open space that is a safe distance from trees, poles or metal objects. Avoid activities such as golf, rod fishing or boating on a lake. Be aware of metal objects that can conduct or attract lightning. After, avoid downed power lines or broken cables. And some questions. Should I watch TV during a thunderstorm? No, you should avoid any non-essential appliances, including your TV, during a thunderstorm. The reason being, our tech has not been created to withstand this kind of surge in electricity. Staying safe during a thunderstorm. You should unplug your TVs, computers and other appliances to avoid damaging them. Can I shower during a thunderstorm? It is also advised not to shower during a thunderstorm, since lightning can travel through plumbing. Many organisations, including the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, have recommended that we should avoid all water during a storm, including showers, baths, washing dishes and hands.
And from the Wallingford Herald website, the Post Office reveals major update to controversial horizon. The Post Office has issued a long-awaited update as it plans to replace its controversial Horizon system. It was announced on August the 24th that the Post Office has signed a contract that will see its Horizon data system replaced. The contract with OneView Commerce forms part of ongoing plans to replace Horizon and help to modernise the technology used in post offices across the UK. It comes in the aftermath of the Horizon scandal, which saw more than 900 sub-postmasters wrongfully convicted of theft, fraud and false accounting between 1999 and 2015, based on faulty data. In 2017, a group of 555 sub-postmasters took legal action in a landmark court case against the Post Office. They were awarded a total of £58 million in compensation and 102 sub-postmasters have now had their convictions overturned after the accounting errors were put down to an error with the Horizon system. Post Office has also signed a separate agreement with Esher to provide another component of the Horizon replacement programme. They hope modernising technology and branches will help to support postmasters and partners to provide relevant product and services to communities across the UK. The Post Office says work is underway to establish detailed plans and a timeline of when the new technology will be introduced. In the meantime, there will be no immediate changes to daily operations for customers, postmasters or partners.
This is from the Oxford Mail website. The Oxfordshire villages that raised Bridgerton's Jonathan Bailey. Bridgerton and Wicked star Jonathan Bailey has taken Hollywood by storm in recent times after years on the British TV scene. But little know that before that he grew up in the Oxfordshire town of Wallingford. The actor and philanthropist was born in 1988 in Oxfordshire, the son of audiologist Carol and Father Stuart, who was managing director of UK brand Rouse Honey. He grew up in nearby villages Benson and Brightwell-cum-Sotwell with his parents and three older sisters. During his time in Oxfordshire, he attended the Church of England Benson Primary School and then the Oratory School, a private Catholic boarding school in Woodcote, where he took ballet lessons. He later got a music scholarship to study at Magdalen College School, Oxford, where he played the piano and the clarinet. The school is also a private day school associated with Magdalen College at Oxford University. Bailey was passionate about acting from an early age after seeing a production of Oliver. Reflecting on the show, he recalled, "I remember announcing to my family something very clichéd, like I want to be up there one day." Through his dance club in Henley-on-Thames, Bailey auditioned for and landed the alternating roles of Tiny Tim and Young Scrooge in the 1995 Royal Shakespeare Company production. He chose to do a degree with the Open University over drama school. In 2011, Bailey played the titular role Leonardo da Vinci in the 2011 CBBC action-adventure series Leonardo, which ran for two series. After performing in West End plays, he was named by The Telegraph as one of the brightest up-and-coming actors currently starring on the West End stage. He considers his role as Cassio in the Royal National Theatre's production of Othello at the Olivier Theatre in 2013 as his big break. More recently, he has starred in Netflix's Bridgerton series based on Julia Quinn's books. The actor plays Anthony Bridgerton, the eldest son of the family, and season 5 of Bridgerton is scheduled to premiere on Netflix in 2027.
This is from the Oxford Mail website. Agatha Christie's famous house set to be changed forever. Agatha Christie's famous Oxfordshire house is set to be changed forever if plans to build a new structure on the grounds are approved. Winterbrook House near Wallingford was home to the world's best-selling crime author, Dame Agatha Christie, and her archaeologist husband, Sir Max Mallowan, from 1934 until her death in 1976. Although the couple travelled the world, the 17th century home on the banks of the River Thames was their main residence for this period, and a blue plaque by the front door pays homage to the great novelist. The couple were buried in St Mary's Church graveyard in Cholsey, and a statue of Agatha Christie was installed on a bench in the Kynecroft Park in Wallingford in 2023 to celebrate her legacy. The elegant Grade II listed property on the banks of the River Thames remains in private ownership since it was sold in 2021 by its international owners of two decades for a reported £2.75 million. Permission for repairs to the historic home was granted by the council in May after the new owners discovered it was suffering from some decay, affecting the main structural beam and the window lintel in the library. The brick house dates to the mid-18th century and is mainly considered architecturally important because of its mid-Georgian facade and its historic joinery and detailing. A new planning application has now been submitted, proposing changes to the grounds of the home. It has revealed plans for a single-storey orangery or winter garden extension at the back of the house, linked to the existing kitchen and dining room by a lightweight glazed walkway. The application specifies that Winterbrook House would remain a single private dwelling house, and the addition of the orangery to its 5-acre grounds would only be a modest extension. The application said, "The overarching design principle has been to ensure that any new addition is clearly of its own time, is reversible, and does not compete with, obscure, or diminish the special architectural or historic interest of the listed building. It is designed to provide improved light-filled garden living accommodation through a single-storey, low-pitched glazed structure with a lantern roof, and is deliberately contemporary in its architecture to distinguish it from the historical home. Other alterations proposed include a new glazed oak French door to the existing side entrance of the house, a new heritage-style steel glazed door replacing the existing wood door at the back of the house, and a new oak horizontal weatherboard infill to the sides of the existing oak-framed porch. South Oxfordshire District Council has the plans under consideration, and comments can be left on the application before the consultation closes on the 7th of September.
And finally, from the Wallingford Herald website, millions of 10p coins with the King's Head entering circulation. Millions of 10p coins featuring a portrait of King Charles III are now entering circulation. The Royal Mint confirmed that more than 7 million of the coins are being released across the UK, with 600,000 dated 2023 and the remaining 6.5 million marked 2026. Rebecca Morgan, director of the Royal Mint, said, "This is a landmark moment for the nation's coinage, as people begin finding the very first 10p coins bearing the King's portrait in their change. The coins are being issued in response to increased demand for the 10p denomination. There are the fourth denomination to feature King Charles III, following the introduction of 5, 50 and £1 coins since 2022. Coins depicting Queen Elizabeth II will remain in circulation and legal tender to ensure a gradual transition with minimal environmental impact and cost."
That concludes this week's edition of the Talking Newspaper. We'll be with you again next week. Until then, from all of us, it's goodbye.
Bye. Bye.